We have arrived now at question number 88.
We have looked at the way that we enter into the Christian life. How do we enter it? Well, by faith in Christ and repentance from sin. Faith and repentance being two sides of the same coin, the unitary act of turning from sin to Christ, grieving my sin, understanding the heinousness of my sin, turning with grief and hatred for that sin, turning to Christ and embracing him by faith, understanding that the mercy of God is extended to me in Jesus' name through the cross of Christ. All right, now we come to the whole question of how do we continue in that Christian life? Once we have entered in, what sustains us? What keeps us going? What supports us? And that has to do with the use of means. That's how we continue in the Christian life. So question number 88 asks, what are the outward and ordinary means whereby Christ communicates to us the benefits of redemption? Answer, the outward and ordinary means whereby Christ communicates to us the benefits of redemption are his ordinances. Let's just stop there. Ordinances is a seldom used word that we would do well to revive in our day. So he speaks of the ordinances. Ordinances. What are the ordinances? Well, another way of speaking of them is as means of grace. And they are identified as the word, sacraments, and prayer. These are the three primary means of grace, all of which are made effectual to the elect for salvation. Here, meaning salvation, mean preserving them in a state of salvation, keeping them in the condition of salvation. Preserving them in the faith, preserving them in a life of repentance. How does God do that? He does it through the use of means, through his ordinances, the word, the sacraments, and prayer. Three ordinary and outward means whereby we are kept in the faith. Now, where are those three, the word, sacraments, and prayer, where do they function? They function in public. They function in private and in families. Think of the services of the Independent Presbyterian Church or of your whatever church that you belong to. What is it that takes place in the context of the services of the church? Well, there's the ministry of the word, there's the ministry of the sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper, and the ministry of prayer. That's essentially what we do in a worship service. We read the word, we preach the word, we sing the word, we pray the word, we display the word and the sacraments. These are the ordinary means whereby grace is received. So if we go back to an analogy that we used in the past, what Jesus did long ago and far away, 2,000 years ago, all the way in Palestine, all the way across the ocean, all the way across the Mediterranean Sea in Palestine. It has to travel across all that time and all that space. So we identify the Holy Spirit as the agent of application. The Holy Spirit takes the benefits of Christ, what he did long ago and far away. He brings them to the present. He applies the benefits of Christ to us. The question is, does he do it directly or does he do it through means? Is he just sort of zapping us with grace, unrelated to anything that we're doing, so that, you know, just walking down the street one day, kind of like the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road, we just suddenly zapped and we have insight and we become Christians? Or he zaps us with strength and grace as we're sleeping at night. And so we just kind of receive it in hidden and unknown ways. The answer is no. The Holy Spirit takes the benefits of Christ, brings them across the time and space to us through means. What are the means? The word, the sacraments, and prayer. It's through them that Christ communicates grace, strength to us.
that he empowers us, that he enables us to grow in the Christian life, to mature in the Christian life. It's this way that we come to resemble Christ. We're called to follow in his steps. That's in 1 Peter chapter 2. We are called to have the attitude that is in Christ Jesus, which regards others as more important than ourselves, that looks out not merely for our own interests, but the interests of others also, that is humble and is obedient unto death. That's the attitude that was in Christ Jesus. We are called to have that same attitude. How does that happen? How do we follow in his steps? How do we have the attitude that was in Christ Jesus? If God so loved us, so we ought also to love one another. How do we love each other the way that God has loved us in giving us Christ? That's 1 John chapters 4 and 5. How do we do that? We don't have the ability to do that. We don't have the strength to do that. God gives the strength through the word, sacraments, and prayer. How do we come to manifest the fruit of the Spirit, those character qualities that are so, so wonderful? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. They are the fruit of the Spirit. Does the Spirit do this immediately without use of any means? No. What's the Holy Spirit use? The Holy Spirit uses the word, sacraments, and prayer. That's how he communicates those benefits. That's how he communicates strength. That's how he communicates grace to us that enables us to continue and grow and flourish as Christians. The ideals of the Beatitudes, that we would be poor in spirit, that we would mourn our sin, that we would be meek, that we would be merciful, that we would be pure in heart, that we would hunger and thirst after righteousness, that we would rejoice even in the midst of persecutions. How are those ideals realized in our life? The answer is by the Holy Spirit working through the word, sacraments, and prayer. Where then are the word, sacraments, and prayer operative? They're operative in public, private, and in families, not each in all. For example, the sacraments are only operative in the public services. They are an ordinance of the church. They're not given to families. So families don't baptize. Families don't administer the Lord's Supper. The word preached, likewise, that only takes place in public. Jesus promises to answer prayer in Matthew 18 when two or more have gathered. It's to the church gathered that the special promise of answered prayer is given in Matthew chapter 18. So that we see that there is a particularly strong connection between the means of grace, the ordinances that God gives whereby we are to grow, and the public services of the church. So again, think about what happens on Sunday morning and Sunday night. We read the word. We preach the word. When we sing the word. When we pray the word. We display the word through the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. So the public worship services of the church take on a particular importance in the whole scheme of things. But we also realize that we pray in private. And we can study our Bibles in private. Jesus says that when we pray in secret, our Father who sees in secret will reward us. There's reward that comes. There's fulfillment and satisfaction that comes as we pray in private. And Jesus expects that we'll be doing that on a daily basis. Give us this day our daily bread, he prays in the Lord's Prayer. That's something that goes on every day. We pray in private. We read the Bible. We read in private. We can read our Bibles and feed our souls in that way. We can sing praises in private. And all of this as well takes place in families as well. So when we look at our Westminster Confession, it does describe three different venues, three different contexts within which the means of grace, the ordinances of God, are functioning. We can pray in private. We can read the Bible in private. We can sing praises in private. Well, we can do that in families too. So there's family worship, there's private worship, and there's public worship. And so in families, God can be worshipped. So we give emphasis to that, and rightly so, as the whole Bible does.
There was a time when the only church in the world was the family. The family was a little church. That was true from Adam all the way to the time of Moses. The beginnings of the Christian faith, the believing community was in a family. And the faith was passed on from father to son, from father, parents to children, parents to children, generation after generation, Abraham to Isaac, Isaac to Jacob, Jacob to his sons, and so forth. So these are the three contexts. We worship God and the means of grace are functioning in public, private, and in families. Then question number 89 even narrows the focus more. How is the Word made effectual to salvation? The Spirit of God, there we go, the Spirit of God who's taking the benefits of Christ from long ago and far away and bringing them all the way across time and space down to me in the present. The Spirit of God makes the reading, but especially the preaching of the Word. So now we're back to the public service again, which I'm identifying as being foundational to the sustaining of the Christian life, to the continuing of the Christian life, is to place myself under the preached word, the preaching of the word, because the Holy Spirit makes the reading, yes, but especially the preaching of it, the explanation of it, the application of it. The effectual means of converting. So often it will be that the entering of the Christian life will take place through the preaching of the gospel, but it's not just through converting, and of building them up in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation, and to continuing until one arrives in heaven. It is especially, that's the emphasis of question number 89, the preaching of the word. That is what? That is the key to entering the Christian life and continuing in the Christian life. So if I'm to grow, if I'm to flourish, if I'm to survive, so let's take it in that order, survive, just survival. On the other hand, the flourishing, actually growing and maturing as a believer, it is particularly crucial that I place myself under the public preaching of the word. Because that is especially what the Spirit of God uses to convince and convert sinners and then to build up the converted, the convinced and converted in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. Not apart from faith, but through faith unto salvation. Salvation seen as the completion of salvation by our arrival in heaven, so that we not just enter, but we continue all the way until the day that we die. And on the day that we die, we open our eyes being in the presence of the Lord. What's necessary for that? Faith and repentance to enter the Christian life, but the diligent use of means in the continuing of the Christian life. It's through those means that, in fact, we actually did enter because we were convinced and converted through the preaching of the word. But it's the diligent use of those means, particularly the preached word, that our faith is strengthened, that we are more and more conformed to the image of Christ. We more and more embody the ideals of the Beatitudes. We more and more bear the fruit of the Spirit and see those fruit ripen into maturity in our lives. It's more and more that we solidify, strengthen our commitment to Christ and commitment to the people of God and commitment to the church, that we grow in holiness, that we become imitators of God, Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, as his beloved children. All of these take place through means. We need to always trace the means back to the source. They come to us in Christ. They are the benefits of Christ's death. That power of the Christian life, of converting and of continuing, comes to us from the cross by the Spirit through the Word, the sacraments, and prayer. That's how they get applied in our lives. That's how we enter the Christian life. That's how we continue in the Christian life, through these ordinances, these means,
that Christ has given to his church.